Hi, I'm Darren, and with me as always is Chef Jonathan Fraser, and we are back at Studio Live in Cumberland. John, great to see you.
It's good to be back in here again. Yeah. I was getting over the time change again.
Right. Oh,
time change. Set the clocks forward. God, I hate clocks that forward.
I know, and it seems like every year there's more of an uproar about it and more people saying, we got to do away with it, and then every year it comes back again.
I get more and more angry every year. But at least now we have guests in here that can help us calm those nerves a little bit.
And we have the lovely Andrea from Wayward.
Hello.
Hello.
Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. This is fantastic.
Andrea's from Wayward Distillers. Not just from, but the owner, one of the owners of Wayward Distillers with her husband.
Yes, my husband Dave and I just started Wayward Distillation House about 2 months ago. We opened just before Christmas.
Great. Yeah.
That's excellent.
And John and I popped in a couple of weeks ago to see you and I guess the best way to describe it for somebody without an address would be like right by the Eagle. Just if you're at the Eagle radio station, you can pretty much see
across the street.
Across the street. Yeah, we're down the road from South Country Feed and Supply.
Right.
On Moray Avenue.
On Moray, right.
Yeah. We may have got lost getting there.
A lot of people do. Yeah.
We were on the wrong side. Yeah. But once we got there, we're like, this is a wonderful little spot. And it's quite a great little story you have there.
So. With some wonderful vodka and gin, even. I did the follow up with some gin there.
Yeah, we just came out with our gin about a week and a half ago, and it's been going really well.
Fantastic. Yeah. So, let's start at the beginning. What brought you to the Valley?
So my husband Dave is military or ex-military now, and we've been all over Canada. We're both from BC originally, so we came. He grew up on the Sunshine Coast, and I grew up on the mainland, just in Coquitlam there. But we've also lived all over Alberta and Ontario, and we finally made it back to the Comox Valley with a posting, and we've been here for about 5 years, and. That's kind of what brought us here.
Right.
Definitely. And we've always been fascinated with the idea of opening up a distillery. And it was kind of a retirement dream, I guess.
Right.
And Dave, being in the military, is eligible for retirement fairly early at 45. Right. Yeah. So we were looking at about another 12 years or so. And finally, about 2 years ago, they changed the laws in BC and they brought into effect the Craft Distillers Agreement.
Right.
And what that meant is it suddenly became much more financially viable to open up a distillery, a small distillery, like a craft sized distillery, and make it work.
Right.
So we decided that why wait till retirement? Let's just jump on it right now and dive in feet first. So that's what we did.
Were you ultimately like always planning on opening the distillery here? Like, was this always going to be where you retired to, or were there other places that you had in mind?
This was the plan right from the get-go. We consider the possibility of Vancouver, but Vancouver is having a crazy distillery boom right now. So there's a lot of distilleries that have opened up in Vancouver as well as the Okanagan. And competition is really, really fierce. And it's all about, it's a numbers game. It's how cheap can you make your product and how plentiful can you make your product. We like the Valley for the local feel and the local vibe, and everyone's super supportive of doing it. And it really allowed us to do what we wanted to do, which was make a quality product out of something interesting.
Wow. Well, that's great. That's fantastic. And it is quality product. It was great.
Yeah, I liked it. You do it a little differently, or I wouldn't say differently, but it's more of a local theme to it.
Yeah. So. Instead of using grain or potato, we're actually making all of our spirits from honey. So.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That has to add a few extra challenges.
Yeah. It's just a different product to work with. It's actually really nice because what we're doing is we're making mead to start off with. So essentially we're making a honey wine, which is just water, honey, and yeast. And then we let that ferment for a little while. And then we distill all of our products from that. So it's quite clean in comparison with a grain or a potato where you have to do a lot of mashing. There's a lot of leftovers at the end of it. And but honey just dissolves in water. So
Perfect.
Yeah. It works out well.
So was that the reason you went with honey, or was it a
Oh, no. So, well, right off the bat, we wanted to do something different, but we weren't sure how we were going to go about doing that. So we actually did look into using a grain product for our distillery. But when we went and talked to some of the granaries, they told us that it would be a 2.5 year wait before we could get anything.
Wow.
So we weren't really keen on waiting 2.5 years to start making our product. So we decided to explore other options. And one of the keys to distilling is you need a product that is high in sugar, because sugar is what is converted into alcohol during the fermentation process. So honey happens to be extremely high in sugar. So about 86% sugar, actually, which is really, really good for us.
Right.
Yeah.
And mead making is one of the oldest forms of alcohol production. And we just decided, well, why not take it a step further and go with that?
Right. So, wow.
Yeah. As far as we know, we're the only ones in Canada right now that are making our vodka, like a vodka and gin, out of honey. We're aware of a few other distilleries down in the States that are making a vodka, and I think one is doing a gin, but we're the only ones in Canada right now. So
it's a very distinct product.
It is.
Yeah. What do you find it does to the vodka? Like, how is it different than?
So it's it's really smooth, and it actually adds a little bit of a honey note to both the nose and the flavor, which is something that is very unique. Like that extra little tiny hint of sweetness is something you do not get with a grain or a potato based vodka.
Right.
So yeah. And even though we're distilling up to a 95% pure product, it's that 5% that carries over any characteristics that you'll taste in a vodka.
Right.
So making everything from honey, you carry over a little bit of that honey. So,
right. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Interesting. And speaking of flavor into the vodka, you were talking that day, whatever, a few weeks ago, about other flavors and introducing flavors. And I really liked how I think you had talked about mostly sourcing all local flavors.
Yeah, absolutely. We've actually got a line of vodka infusions coming out. And what we're going to be doing is we're going to be taking our vodka and we're going to be using whatever's locally grown, locally produced, and soaking it in our vodka to infuse it with the flavors and the colors. And we really have an unlimited number of options for for doing that, really. Like, we can do a savory one with herbs or spices. Right. We can do a fruity one with berries or anything. We've actually paired up with Royston Roasting Company. We're going to be doing a coffee vodka infusion.
Nice.
And they're going to be making us a proprietary blend of beans.
Nice.
So yeah, I'm pretty pretty excited for that one. I think that one's going to be our first one. And then think we're planning on maybe doing a ginger infusion.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be good.
So, yeah. And then after that, it's just whatever we feel like doing.
Wow. Yeah, that's fantastic. And because you aren't such like one of the larger distilleries and you are this smaller house, you're producing at smaller volume, so you can start to sort of try things out more so than other, say, larger ones that have to do these big planned.
Absolutely. Yeah. We've got, our still is fairly small. We've got a 250 liter still,
right.
Which means that when we do a full run, like when we fill the boiler up and actually produce something, we're still only coming out with about 280 bottles.
Wow.
Of whatever we're making
whatever
at the time.
Right.
So that means that if we want to release a special small batch of something, we can really do 280 bottles or even less.
Right.
And do very limited releases, experimental lines.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Yeah, and see how it goes over with everyone.
Yeah.
So.
And how is it going over with everyone? I mean, I've talked to a few places that are carrying your product, but I don't know. I'm not getting the same. I'm not touching all the same. You know, all the different retailers that you are. So I don't know how things are going.
Things are going fantastic.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. We are getting an overwhelmingly positive response.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Absolutely everybody that has tried our product, either whether it be the vodka or the gin. We're finding that as soon as we get any of our spirits in someone's face. Like if we can actually get them to try our product, it's an instant sale for us. It's just, we've converted a lot of people.
That's wonderful.
which is really great for us. And, because vodka is a hard sell. There's a lot of vodka out there. There's a lot of, it's a very competitive market. So, we just need to get ourselves out there and have people try it. And we're finding that that's been...
Where is it available right now?
Oh, we're all over the valley.
Okay.
We're at about 5 or 6 different locations in the valley.
Okay.
Cascadia, the Flying Canoe Liquor Store, City Center Spirits.
Oh, wow.
Liquor Plus, Liquor Express.
So pretty much everything except for the LDB.
Yeah. We can't be carried in provincial liquor stores.
Right.
And that's one of the stipulations of the craft distillers agreement, is that we're getting a markup exemption for being craft.
Right.
And the trade-off is that the provincial liquor stores won't carry us.
Right. So you're not going to be provincial-wide unless...
Exactly. So...
Yeah. Wow.
So it's a bit of a smaller distribution for you.
It is, but it's really nice, because what that means is that we're responsible for our own distribution. Mm-hmm. So we get to go out there and we get to meet the people that are going to be selling our products at the liquor stores, and the staff, and we'll do tastings, and having that personal interaction with the managers and the staff of liquor stores has really been fantastic, because it's just that next step of personal touch for all of those people that are going to be out there representing our product for us as
Right. And you had said too that you've been contacted from like all over the world, little spots here and there.
Yeah. We actually, this was before we even opened our doors. We got a call from a gentleman in Portugal at 4 a.m. because time difference apparently was not checked before that phone call.
Right.
But they heard about what we were doing here, and they carry unique products from all over the world. And they heard that we were going to be making a gin from a honey-based spirit.
Right.
And they had never heard of that before. And they wanted to carry it.
Wow. Really?
So as soon as we've got enough stockpiled, we're going to be sending a pallet to Portugal, apparently.
A pallet? Wow.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Which is a lot of gin.
That is. A pallet full is a lot of gin.
Yeah, so that was pretty exciting. We've also had some people contact us through email from places like Germany and Scotland that have heard about it. Through various media outlets or social media or the internet.
Yeah.
So
wow, that's fantastic. That's great.
Yeah.
And so you're not limited that way. You're allowed to sell beyond our borders. It's just that you're responsible for handling it all.
Yeah. I think the stipulation is that it has to be purchased in Canada. So they have to buy it in Canadian dollars. And then we just ship it to
them. Ship it out.
So as long as we've paid all of our taxes to the tax man, the government is okay with wherever we're sending it to.
Wow. Well, that's fantastic. That's great. So, I mean, in just a few short months, it sounds like you've already made a lot of progress.
Yeah. It's been really good.
Wow.
Surprisingly good. So
have you been able to keep up to demand so far? Or is it
so far, yes. I think we were able to keep up with demand to the point that the people that we have been selling to are good. I think that as soon as we branch out into the Vancouver market, which is kind of what we're intending to do in April, May kind of time frame, we will run into some some choke points and some extra double shifts and that kind of thing. But it's good, because that all of these things are happening faster than we anticipated, which means that business is good. So
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
we definitely had a void here, and I think that a lot of people are just excited to see something of this nature originating in the valley. That's what's great about the valley here. I don't have to sell you on it. I know that, but people are really supportive. Something new comes along And if it's quality product, like everybody here just wants to cheerlead for you. They want you to, yeah, you know, everything to be bigger.
It's just so overwhelming. Yeah. The response from like everyone local, they are right in our corner. It is fantastic.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. Well,
it's like having 60,000 reps all in one spot. Yeah.
No, it's great. I like to see how it's rounding up the valley a bit, like now with a distillery. Well, we have two distilleries in town now, so which is really interesting. So a little bit of competition, but it's a little bit of different product completely. So
it is, yeah. And we're big fans of Shelter Point. I mean, their main focus is whiskey, which should be coming out anytime.
Right. Yeah, they hit their three-year mark
in September, October, and they're good to go. As soon as they're happy with their product, they'll be able to start releasing.
Wow.
And yeah, we have gone out to visit them and have talks with them and just discuss distillery life and all of its quirks and intricacies. But yeah, they've been fantastic, and they're doing whiskey, yes, and they do have their vodka,
right?
And we're going to be doing vodka and gin, and we are also going to be trying we'd like to try a bunch of other different things. Well, we're kind of thinking of doing some kind of rum product.
Oh, yeah.
Now, technically, we can't call it rum because rum has to be made from sugarcane or molasses.
Right.
But we do have honey. So
right.
We're
so flavor profile, it's going to be similar.
Similar. Right. Yeah. So we're playing around with the idea of maybe trying to either just distill the honey like we would a rum, which is actually at a lower percentage than you would distill vodka. So instead of 95% pure, you distill it to like 60 or 70, bring over more of the honey flavors, or possibly caramelizing the honey first.
Oh, wow.
So you'd kind of get some...
Getting more of a molasses-y sort of...
Yeah, you'd get some toasted marshmallow notes and stuff. So we're not really sure how we're going to go about
caramelizing
as much honey as we would need to. But we'll see. I think we're going to experiment a little bit with that. And then Shelter Point has... fantastically offered us some of their barrels to do some aging in.
Nice.
So we're going to be aging whatever rum style product we create in Shelter Point's barrels, which are actually, they get all of their barrels from Jack Daniel's. So a little bourbon finish.
Nice. That sounds fantastic.
Yeah. So that's one of the ones that we're thinking of doing.
I think that's a fantastic idea. I think you'd be on to something there.
I'm sold. I don't know what it tastes like, but I'm in. So
So I mean, I think you've sort of outlaid what your future is as far as what you want to do for product development. But what do you see growth wise for your actual business? Do you see bringing on employees? Do you see moving to a larger place in the future? What's your plan?
So we're in a fairly large space right now. We've got about 3,000 square feet,
right,
which is a really good size for us. Mm-hmm. Right now we take up a small chunk of that. So we do have room to grow in the space that we're in, which is hopefully we'd like to stay.
Right.
I think we'd like to stay and just kind of like make that home.
Wow. Yeah.
And as for employees, yes, absolutely. Yeah. We've got me and my husband, Dave, and we work 7 days a week, but we also have an awesome friend/shareholder/ awesome employee who comes in and like spells us off on Sundays.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So we can actually not come in for a full day on Sundays, even though we usually do.
Yeah.
I know how that goes.
Yeah.
John, I think John has put in like 7,000 consecutive days at Atlas.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah.
Every time he's supposed to take a day off, he ends up being called in. But
Or I just show up there.
You know, if you love the work, it's not really work.
Have breakfast, guys. Come on.
One thing I did want to mention too, which we found fantastic, was how accessible it is. So, you just sort of show up unannounced and get to talk to you and maybe have a little taste here and there of what's going on. That was been fantastic. And you sort of have your doors open that anybody can stop by and get more information or find out what's going on, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So our tasting room is actually open noon to six every day.
Right.
And if we're not swamped with people, we will usually happily give tours to anyone that wants to see what's going on. I mean, it's... Yeah. we just love talking about what we're doing. So
yeah, that's great. And yeah, I highly encourage anybody that's listening that they should stop in.
Even just to find out how it's all done. Like, yeah, it's a fantastic story of just like how you make alcohol. Yeah. You know?
So. That's just it. And you said, even if you're, you know, if you're not busy, you'd show them around. But the whole way that it's laid out, that even if you are busy, it's like one big glass wall where you can see into the whole distillery right there. So
yeah,
watch it all happening.
Yeah, it's pretty great. Our tasting room, we definitely wanted to show everyone what's going on back there. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. So I don't have any other questions for you. Do you have any, John?
I think I'm great, but I think we need to just reiterate. Yes, thank you. Where people can get it and how to get in contact with you.
Yeah, okay. So we have a website, which is www.waywarddistillationhouse.com. It's got all of our information on it, location, products. You can order off of the interwebs as well. And we've got a Facebook page, which is just Wayward Distillation House. You can find us there. And we usually update that with any new products or where we're doing tastings, all that, all the pertinent information. And oh gosh, what else? We're located at 2931 Moray Avenue in Courtenay, BC.
That's the far side of Moray, not the little industrial park that a lot of people go to,
but the bus part. Depot and
We're off the 29th Street, which is the Comox Valley Parkway.
Right.
And products wise, we've got vodka and gin, and we're available at a lot of the local liquor stores. And also from the distillery, and we have started going to the farmers markets on Saturday. So from 9 to noon, which is obviously prime sampling time for alcohol, you can come by and buy our sample and just say hi.
And as if there wasn't already enough reasons to go to the farmers market, now you have one more. But yeah, thanks for coming in and sitting with us.
Yeah, this has been awesome, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, we'll love to touch in with you again, maybe a year from now or so.
Oh yeah,
and just see how it's going.
Big time.
Okay, great.
Excellent. Well, thank you for listening to the Edible Valley Podcast. I'm Chef Jonathan Fraser.
I'm Darren Howlett.
And I'm Andrea Bermacombe with Wayward Distillation House.
Great.
Thanks. And don't forget to follow us at ediblevalley.com.